Dawn Commando. Dawn Commando. Government shelter. Government shelter. President ready to receive. President ready to receive. Transmit confidential report, Operation Vega. President ready to receive. President ready to receive.
Just a matter.
Hold it a minute.
Whiskey, Jack?
Yeah, please, Mr. President.
Damn bomb.
Yes, Mr. President. Thank you.
Wife?
There's no hope, Mr. President.
I was very fond of her.
Yes, Mr. President.
Half the population simply gone.
Half the population, Mr. President.
Still, you're the same to those other guys.
And how, Mr. President?
My grandchildren are alive. All right, you can let me have that report now.
President, ready to receive. Go ahead. Transmit confidential report, Operation Vega. President, ready to receive.
Dawn Commando. Dawn Commando. Secret Agent Mannerheim. Secret Agent Mannerheim. Transmitting President Vi's confidential report, Operation Vega. Transmitting President Vi's confidential report, Operation Vega. Transmitting from Shelter 4. Transmitting from Shelter 4. Subject, His Excellency Sir Horace Wood. Begins tape 1. Tape 1. Recording takeoff. Begins recording takeoff.
Passengers for spaceship Vega, please embark.
That's our call, Mannerheim. We must leave the Earth. The other gentlemen are aboard.
Please put on your hat and dark glasses, Your Excellency.
Of course.
We might be recognized by spies.
That's always to be feared.
Is this your first space journey, Sir Horace?
My first.
Oh.
You're astonished. Today, every child goes sailing off to the moon or takes a trip to Mars. Our dreams have come true. But I'm too fond of the Earth and too averse to dreams. And there isn't a tolerably pleasant climate anywhere outside our planet, they say.
Indeed, Your Excellency.
Passengers for spaceship Vega, please embark. Passengers for spaceship Vega, please embark.
Well, good morning, Your Excellency.
Are you the captain?
Captain Lee, sir. May I show Your Excellency to your cabin?
You're too kind to someone like me, Captain. With foreign ministers, one must be tougher.
Here we are, Your Excellency.
It looks odd.
I'm sure Dr. Mannerheim will look after you.
Thank you.
I must fasten your safety belt now, Your Excellency.
Oh, please do.
Now, how's that, Your Excellency?
I can't move a finger.
I shall give you some coramine. I'm just switching on the oxygen and helium.
As you wish.
Would Your Excellency like to watch the takeoff?
Yes, I'm curious about that.
You can see the launching pad.
Funny, not a soul about.
They're all in the shelters.
A fine morning.
There's the red light, Your Excellency. Take off in 20 seconds.
It's a pity we have to leave like this. I'd like to have gone fishing.
10 seconds to go.
And the sun's come out, too.
Take off.
There goes the capital. Now the sea. Yes, dropping away from us, Mannerheim.
Can you stand the pressure?
Pretty well.
It's rising.
A remarkable experience the first time.
Breathe regularly.
I am trying to.
Vika has to reach a speed of 36,000 kilometers an hour.
I don't like it. I never drive faster than 60. Mannerheim.
Your Excellency.
You were the President's personal physician.
His traveling physician. I go to Mars with him.
And he selected you to come to Venus with me.
A great honor, Your Excellency. There's the yellow light. Now the acceleration pressure is at maximum.
Evidently.
And there's the green. We've reached the required speed. We've overcome the Earth's gravitational pull.
Here we are.
8,000 kilometers above the Earth.
Quite a distance up.
May I unfasten Your Excellency's safety belt?
That's better. It's pretty, the Earth, seen at this distance.
Yes, isn't it?
A curved shield. Pity it's false.
False, Your Excellency?
Its inhabitants don't always tell the truth.
May I introduce Colonel Roy?
Colonel Camille Roy?
Yes, Your Excellency.
The one who carried out the surprise attack on Hanoi a year ago.
Yes, Your Excellency.
And the one on Warsaw 3 years ago.
Your Excellency has a good memory.
It's my job, Roy. Just my job. But here comes the War Minister.
Well, there you are, Wood. One good shove and we're floating about in space. Magnificent. For once you fellows in the Foreign Ministry realize what it is to have broad horizons.
And now, a recording of a meeting which took place on board the Vega 3 days later. Tape two. All ministers and secretaries of state took part. His Excellency Sir Horace Wood was in the chair.
Gentlemen, I shall start by giving you a short survey of the situation. Let us be clear what we want and about what we must do. Since 1945, that's 123 years ago, there have been no further world wars, but a period of limited conflicts. The war in Korea, the Indian Civil War, the setback in Australia, and all these minor struggles. Now, however terrible it is for a foreign minister to admit it, a new world war has become inevitable. The world has been preparing for it for 123 years. Diplomacy has exhausted all its arts. Cold War can be prolonged no further. Peace is impossible. The need to have a war is greater than the fear it inspires. The United Free States of Europe and America are opposed to Russia and our Asian, African, and Australian allies. The two opponents are approximately equal in strength. Approximately. That is the unfortunate reason why members of the government of the Allied Free States are on the spaceship Vega. I should like now to ask the Minister for Extraterrestrial Regions to speak.
Your Excellencies, gentlemen, our situation is not wholly fortunate. We have lost the moon, a loss which I personally feel to be more painful than that of Australia. The Treaty of New Delhi deprived us of the whole of the side facing the Earth, and the conditions obtaining there, so hostile to human life, make war against the Russian moon fortress impossible.
We should never have signed the Treaty of New Delhi.
I should like to remind War Minister Costello that he was unable to think of any alternative solution when I was forced to sign that treaty, an act which I greatly regret. There was no other political course open, and we were unprepared for anything but political courses. Continue, Minister.
Excellencies, gentlemen, Mars has declared itself neutral and is too powerful to be forced into taking sides either with the Russians or ourselves. There remains Venus. I should like to ask the Secretary of State responsible for Venusian affairs to speak.
The Secretary of State for Venusian Affairs has the floor.
Your Excellencies, I think it is important that the members of the government here assembled should have a picture of conditions on Venus. Climatically, this planet is a disaster. It's in the state the Earth was in about 150 million years ago. Venus is unsuitable for proper human settlement. That is why the Russians and the United Free States both withdrew their commissars.
That is not my information.
To be precise, Saris, both sets of commissars refused to return to Earth, and Russians and ourselves declined to send out new ones.
What was the name of our last commissar?
Von Steppen.
When did he retire?
10 years ago.
Why did he not return?
The reasons are unknown.
Continue, Mr. Secretary of State.
Your Excellencies, gentlemen, even though the planet Venus is unsuitable for settlement, it has some value. For the last 50 years, Russians and ourselves have been using it as a penal colony. To this day, it has been used exclusively to that end. Our spaceship disembarked the condemned men and then leave, without coming into contact with the penal colony.
So these prisoners are actually at liberty.
As far as Venus is concerned, for us on Earth, they are dead men.
What's the political situation?
Unknown.
The population?
Unknown.
How many people do we send there?
30,000 a year.
And Russia?
Unknown.
I don't see why we need a section for Venusian affairs when we know nothing at all about the planet.
The section is responsible for organizing the transportation of prisoners, Your Excellency. What happens to the prisoners afterwards is no concern of the section. The main thing is we've got rid of them.
What sort of offenders do we send to Venus?
Morally inferior specimens. Criminals. And above all, young people who espouse communist ideas and have to be put away for security reasons.
And whom do the Russians send to Venus?
Criminals, too. And naturally, people who espouse Western ideas and have to be put away for security reasons.
In other words, there aren't just morally inferior specimens on Venus. I should like now to ask the War Minister to explain his objective.
It's quite simple. I want to win over the rabble up there for a war against Russia and Asia. The planet Venus has one great strategic advantage. You can't see what's going on the surface because of its cloudy atmosphere. You can prepare an attack on the QT, which you can't do on Earth because the Russians and ourselves have artificial satellites to watch each other from. Now, I put the population of the planet at about 2 million. Now, for a hydrogen or cobalt bomb attack on Asia, I need 200,000 men. They can assemble the bombs and missiles themselves if we leave a few scientists on Venus.
Have any such scientists volunteered?
They're on board.
Well, with whom are we negotiating?
A man called Peterson.
Have you any information about this gentleman?
He's a murderer from Germany.
A great outlook.
There's also a certain John Smith.
So what do we know about him?
He was born on Venus and is the son of an American communist.
Even better.
And finally, there's a man called Yakov Petrov. We know nothing at all about him.
Sounds Russian.
Gentlemen, our mission had been decided by the President. To our great surprise and partial consternation, as it now appears, since we know very little about Venus. I am in charge of the mission. We have a difficult task ahead of us. We still don't know what the plenipotentiaries of this planet will claim or what basis for negotiation we have with them. Whether we shall find a dictatorship or a parliamentary system similar to our own, the situation is serious. We must risk everything in order not to lose everything. It only remains for me now to wish Operation Vega the very best of luck.
Before I proceed to the events on Venus, I shall play back tape 3A, two conversations involving His Excellency Sir Horace Wood. The first was with me. We were looking at Venus, now about the size of the moon, but with much more lurid light, hanging before us in space, menacing and white.
When do we touch down, Mannheim?
In 6 hours.
6 hours. And then our task begins.
Our task, Excellency?
The President has instructed you to keep an eye on me. He's afraid I'll stay on Venus like our commissars.
I don't understand you, Excellency.
You are a top secret service agent.
Excellency.
You've got one of those little machines in your pocket that records everything I say.
I don't know what you are talking about.
As an intelligence agent, you won't admit... Oh, forget it. We both know what's at stake.
Too goddamn right we know what's at stake. You fill up that whiskey glass before we listen to this tape, Jan. All right, go ahead.
Go ahead.
The second conversation is with Captain Roy. Tape 3B. I must apologize for the poor quality of this recording. It was made as we were about to enter the stormy atmosphere of Venus, and we suffered much interference.
May I ask you a question, Colonel Roy?
Your Excellency.
You attacked Warsaw 3 years ago in spaceship Dina.
Right.
And Hanoi a year ago in spaceship Adair.
Quite right.
I seem to remember 6 months ago, Peking was attacked by spaceship Arcturus.
Your Excellency's memory is precise.
All these spaceships were camouflaged as passenger ships.
A trick of war, Your Excellency?
Now, this ship is a Vega. I'm no expert on astronomy, but aren't Ater, Deneb, Arcturus, and Vega the names of the summer stars?
So they are.
Are they, by any chance, the names of one and the same ship?
Your Excellency is quick on the uptake.
It's part of my job. The secret agent.
I'm afraid I can't answer that.
That's an answer in itself. You're a dangerous man, Roy.
I'm a soldier.
Exactly. And on board this ship?
At the President's request.
With a few bombs, as in the case of Warsaw and Hanoi.
I can't imagine what for.
To add emphasis to the proposals they're going to put to the inhabitants of Venus.
I can't answer that, Your Excellency.
You mustn't, Roy. The inhabitants of Venus are expecting a peaceful ship. We promise to come without arms. I have observed your presence with astonishment, Colonel. But as a foreign minister of the United Free States, I cannot afford to give it further thought. There is no more pitiful sight than that of a diplomat whose right hand doesn't know what the left is doing. I don't want to know.
Return to their cabins. All passengers, return to their cabins. Fasten safety belts. Fasten safety belts. Vega is entering the atmosphere of Venus.
Let us forget our conversation, Roy.
Depending on Your Excellency.
And let us hope that you will never have to remind me.
All passengers, return to your cabin.
I shall certainly not.
Fasten safety belts. Fasten safety belts. In
respect of the following recordings, Mr. President, and since you have asked me for a detailed report, I wish to observe that the impression of Venus we received on landing is difficult to describe and impossible to render in terms of the pictures of that planet we know on Earth. We landed on the predetermined spot not far from the planet's north pole, on the coast of Newton Island. The distinguishing features of the surface of Venus, which we learned at school, were indeed present. The gigantic growth of the vegetable world, the horizon ringed with volcanoes. But these were not the terrifying things. What was terrifying was the heat, the humidity of the air, the constantly perceptible earthquakes, which alter and undermine the ground, destroying and recreating it, the light, which is unearthly, strange, and difficult to describe. The sky has no sun, but an oppressive, tumultuous mush of clouds, shaken by measureless hurricanes. It is a glistening silver in color, as though some deadly fire lurked behind the rainstorms and clouds of water vapor. On our approach, we observed flashes of ball lightning kilometers long. We left the Vega. The ground reeled and shook. Behind us lay the primeval jungle, fantastic, dripping wet. In front of us, a beach of burning red sand, and then, hazy and turbulent, an ocean. Stand by tape four. We had expected a great gathering of people, a solemn ceremony. Sir Horace had the notes for his speech in his hand and had put on a large pair of horn-rimmed glasses. But all we saw was three ragged men wearing only shirts and trousers. We assumed that they would take us to the place fixed for the negotiations. But to our surprise, they were the plenipotentiaries themselves.
How do you do? I am John Smith.
Sir Horace Wood.
Mr. Peterson and Mr. Petroff.
His Excellency, the Minister of War. His Excellency, the Minister for Extraterrestrial Regions. And my principal collaborator.
Glad to meet you.
Mr. Smith, gentlemen, to set foot on Venus is for us a moment not without madness. It is with no small emotion that we stand on the soil of another planet and one to us which appears so strange. United the States of the Earth, of whom we are the representatives, know that the ideals to which we subscribe and by which we try to regulate our lives, the ideals of humanity and of liberty, these ideals are also present on Venus, although perhaps in a different form. So, becoming not from any calculated motive, but out of a spontaneous determination, as the old poet T.S. Eliot put it.
His Excellency was unfortunately unable to conclude this fine speech. A great storm broke out, obliging us to run for shelter of the negotiating ship, a sort of primitive submarine, which we reached soaked to the skin. We were surprised. We had thought the negotiations would take place in a city, or a country mansion. I shall now play tape five. This is an excerpt track from the first session with the Venusian delegates. It took place in terrible circumstances. The 12-man delegation of the United Free States was huddled into a tiny, ill-lit room, which the waves of the strange ocean tossed crazily from side to side.
I, together with my colleague, Mr. Peterson, should like to welcome the representatives of the United Free States to our negotiating ship. Please excuse the absence of Mr. Petroff. He's busy servicing the ship.
We have important proposals to put forward. Can't the servicing of the ship be carried out by someone other than Mr. Petrov?
We have nobody else.
Gentlemen, I propose that the capital of Venus be fixed as the site for negotiations.
We have no capital.
Then one of the larger villages.
There are no villages.
Then at least a room on land.
This is the only kind of room there is. The land is too unsteady to carry a building. We all live on ships.
At least let the thunderstorm pass.
There are thunderstorms all the time on Venus. And this is just a small one.
Universal clarity should prevail here, but we know very little about conditions on Venus. May I ask what is the relationship between the plenipotentiaries here present and their government, and how far their powers go.
We have no government.
Well, how am I to take that?
The way I said it.
Mr. Peterson.
Hmm? His Excellency, the Minister of Extraterrestrial Regions, has the floor.
Mr. Peterson, if we rightly understand, Mr. Smith, the population of Venus has no fixed government. Only a council or a popular assembly, which in true democratic manner acts according to the will of the people.
We haven't got anything of the kind.
But Venus must be governed.
Venus is big, and we are small. She is cruel. We have to struggle if we have to stay alive. We can't afford politics.
Mr. Smith.
His Excellency, the Minister for War.
You call yourself a plenipotentiary of Venus, Mr. Smith.
I am.
And someone must have conferred power on you.
Yes. I did it myself.
So you were acting on your own name when you entered radio contact with us.
You entered radio contact. We picked up your signals by accident. We were trying to contact neighbors and got the Earth instead.
So you couldn't resist the temptation to give yourselves out to be plenipotentiaries of Venus.
But we are. It's our duty to negotiate with you because we picked up your radio signals. Here, nobody's allowed to wriggle out of a job. Even if he gets it by accident, it doesn't concern him in the least.
Oh, this is too crazy for my liking.
So, anyone else would have negotiated with us if he had picked up our signals?
Of course.
And would have put in an appearance as of any potential.
That's enough to drive you mad.
Mr. Peterson, is the population of Venus informed of our coming?
Before the nearest ship. Well, we will tell them what we discussed.
And if we conclude a treaty?
We will tell them that too.
Will the population of Venus respect the treaty?
We are the plenipotentiaries.
Is it possible to assemble the population in their ships?
If necessary, but it is not necessary.
Gentlemen, as chairman of the mission of the United Free States of the Earth, I find myself faced with a not wholly expected situation. My pressing proposal is that the members of our mission here present retire to our spaceship to discuss that situation. We must clarify in legal terms whether we can negotiate with you, Messrs. Smith and Peterson, since there is on Venus no state capable of appearing as a legal party with which treaties could be concluded. I hope I'm expressing myself correctly. I am no lawyer. Consequently, I believe...
Tape number six. Tape number six. Discussion on board the Vega. The spaceship, having left the atmosphere of Venus again, is about 1,000 kilometers distant from that planet.
1 minute longer in that climate, and I'd have gone berserk. They ought to send the Russians here. I've never seen a more senseless planet.
Unbearable.
When we were taken off, I saw an animal. It looked like a chameleon, only it was about 150 feet long.
It's not decent.
I thought Venus quite a sensible place. Every time I said the word ideals, there was a thunderclap.
And what sort of audience did you have, Wood? 3 mentally retarded fishermen, or whatever the rascals are, who picked up our radio message in their spare time and lured a diplomatic mission of 3 ministers and 6 secretaries of state onto their lousy boat.
And our scientists spent years developing a radio to get into contact with Venus without the Russians knowing about it.
It's a ludicrous situation.
As Minister of Extraterrestrial Regions, I have always raised a warning voice against this adventure.
Tragic. 45 million kilometers, all in vain. Let's get back to Earth.
Lost causes should be abandoned.
Venus impresses me. People there are free.
I must raise a warning voice.
No government. Everybody fit to be a plenipotentiary. It's marvelous.
It's distressing.
It's always distressing to see an ideal made reality.
I didn't see anything remotely like an ideal up there.
Is there any political system more ideal than not to need one?
You don't intend to negotiate with these hobos.
It's our only chance, War Minister.
Wood, I don't understand you.
We must find allies.
We'll never do it on Venus.
Venus is the only case. The Minister for Extraterrestrial Regions gave striking proof of that at our opening meeting.
I protest.
On the contrary, I have always raised a warning voice.
Gentlemen, we mustn't lose our heads, otherwise we shall lose them for good. We have created a false mental picture of conditions on Venus. We didn't know what to expect, granted, but we thought we'd find something similar to what we know from the Earth. But that's not the case. The inhabitants of this planet are locked in a pitiless struggle with nature. They cannot harbor any idea except enduring that struggle, keeping alive somehow or other, even if life is comfortless. We are unimportant to them. But the moment that we can offer them the hope of altering their situation, we shall become important, and we can do that.
You're an optimist.
We are dealing with human beings. They're no different from us and just as easy to seduce.
You intend to offer them money?
Something better. Power.
What have you got in mind?
First, we recognize Smith and Peterson as plenipotentiaries, and by so doing, since there is no government on Venus, we appoint them to be the government.
But we can't conjure up a government from nothing.
From nothing, yes, Minister, but not with nothing. We assure this government of the support and power of the United States as a free part of the Earth.
I must raise a warning voice. Peterson is a criminal.
Well, many governments with which we are allied on Earth consist of criminals. Secondly, we promise to bring all the inhabitants back to the Earth once, with their help, we have defeated the Russians.
Aren't you going too far?
We must go far, if we are to achieve a far distant goal.
Oh, where can we settle them, for heaven's sakes? I must raise
any
a warning.
Any climate on Earth would seem paradise to them.
Your Excellency.
What do you want, Mannerheim?
What if the inhabitants of Venus say no?
Say no to what?
To returning to Earth.
Oh, nonsense, Mannerheim. There's no hell which one wouldn't willingly leave.
Think of von Stetten. He stayed. And other commissars, too.
But don't worry your head about that, young man. What is there on Venus to retain anyone? I know von Stetten. I was at Oxford and Heidelberg with him. He was an unworldly man with confused ideas. Let us return to Venus, gentlemen. There is no other way.
So we went back. Playback of tape seven, the second landing on Venus.
The ministers are walking towards the beach with army greatcoats to protect them against the rain and sand. The rain scalds you. The sand is practically red hot. Air temperature about 40 degrees centigrade. There's a woman coming to meet us. About 30, I'd say. Dressed like the men, no protection against the pouring rain.
Are you Mr. Wood?
Yes.
I'm Irena.
Oh, please take us to Mr. Peterson and Mr. Smith.
Smith and Peterson can't come.
But we agree.
They sighted a whale, or at least that's what we call them. They're not like whales on Earth, but at least you can eat them. You can't with most of the animals here. Hunting whales is important to us.
With all due respect for these edible whales, which to some extent come under my jurisdiction, since I am the Minister for Extraterrestrial Regions, who are we to negotiate with now?
Me.
With you?
I'm the new plenipotentiary. Peterson told me all about it. We can talk in the canteen of the hospital ship. I'm a nurse there. The doctor said I could, but not for long. That's what he said.
Tape number 8. The canteen of the hospital ship. Primitive. Everything soaking wet. There's a conversation between the ministers before the negotiations with the nurse.
Oh, let's go home.
I have always raised a warning.
Your plan's gone footward.
What makes you think so?
You were going to recognize Smith and Peterson as the government, and now they've gone off to hunt whales.
Never by a long chalk has a diplomatic mission been so insulted. They brought us into a smelly canteen just to make fools of us.
If we didn't have the Russians on our backs, it would be our duty to declare war on this rabble. As citizens of the Earth, we have our pride.
Well?
Sir Horace,
Does that mean you're going to recognize this nurse as the government of Venus?
Of course.
But that's impossible.
A game's only lost when you stop playing.
Oh, Wood, that's above my head. I just don't understand politics anymore.
My dear War Minister, the only politics one can understand is the politics of asses. What's that groaning, Mannheim?
Childbirth,
I think, Your Excellency.
So that's why Irena disappeared.
We'll have to negotiate between labor pains.
God!
The heat. Well, here comes the nurse, at last.
Gentlemen, I brought my husband with me. He's a deaf mute. A common complaint here. He's going to eat some soup. Unfortunately, we have no other room.
But, of course.
What have you to say to us?
As head of our mission, I have to inform you that the United Free States of the Earth accord you their official recognition as plenipotentiary and therewith as head of state.
I don't understand that.
We fully appreciate the circumstances that the population of Venus requires no government in view of its remoteness from the rest of the solar system. However, since the United Free States of the Earth now grant political recognition to Venus, a government becomes a formal necessity. Accordingly, the plenipotentiary of Venus is automatically identical with the government of Venus.
I am a nurse. I don't understand a word of what you say.
It's not necessary. This is purely a diplomatic technicality which permits us to make treaties with the population of Venus.
Oh, very well, if you insist. I am the head of state.
Now, I think we require a really solemn ceremony. We shall assemble as many Venusians as possible.
What for?
To install you as head of state.
But you've done that.
It must happen in public.
The inhabitants of Venus have the right to know that they at least possess a government which has been internationally recognized. I am convinced that Mars will recognize Venus, too.
Nobody cares about that.
Madam.
I'm the government of Venus only as far as the Earth is concerned. You declare the plenipotentiary head of the state. That's your concern. I happen to be this plenipotentiary because I have the afternoon off. Tomorrow it will be somebody else, and if anybody can spare the time. I told you, the whale hunt has started.
But you can't possibly change governments every day.
You need a government here, not us.
We're going round in circles.
And the heat, too. This torrid, unnatural heat.
What exactly do you want with us?
Madam.
Don't keep calling me madam. My name's Irena.
Irena? It's a question of defending freedom.
Why?
Madam.
Oh, excuse me. They must be planning an amputation next door, and we have no anesthetics.
Don't mind us.
It's the heat. I simply can't stand the heat.
The question, Irena, of why freedom must be defended doesn't yet arise on this fortunate planet. Fortunate, I mean, as far as its political situation is concerned. But it does exist on ours. Without any doubt, it will arise here, too, if the powers which threaten freedom on Earth are victorious. The United Free States of the Earth are threatened by Russia and her allies.
His Excellency's speech, in which he expounded our views to the nurse in popular, easily assimilable form, is badly distorted, partly through faulty recording and partly through the amputation. I shall proceed to play back tape number nine, the subsequent negotiations.
It's the heat.
Our point of view, our wishes and our proposals should now be clear to the government of Venus.
I gather you want us to take part in a war against Russia.
Exactly.
We aren't threatened by the Russians.
I'd like to ask you a question, Irena.
Go ahead.
Are you a Russian?
I was a Pole. I was deported 6 years ago.
Doubtless because you subscribe to the sublime ideals of freedom, humanity, and private enterprise.
I was a prostitute.
My dear child.
You forget that you're talking to a head of state.
Madam, I give you once more my solemn promise that the inhabitants of Venus will be permitted to return to Earth if they join in the war on our side.
I don't know anybody who wants to go back.
The Minister for Extraterrestrial Regions has fainted, Your Excellency.
Examine him, Mannheim.
Yes, we must return to the spaceship, Your Excellency. His life is in danger.
I can't stand it anymore, either would. I'm in a muck sweat. You're as white as a ghost.
Very well, Costello. We shall adjourn. Nurse Serena, will my proposal be submitted to the inhabitants of Venus?
If you wish.
I do wish. You don't seem to realize the importance of our mission. We are returning to our spaceship now and will come back tomorrow. We do not know with whom we shall negotiate, but we must be certain that our proposal will be put to the inhabitants of Venus.
If you attach importance to it.
Tape number 10. Tape number 10. His Excellency's cabin on board the Vega, 1,500 kilometers from Venus.
Now a calcium injection.
As you will.
I'm turning up the oxygen a little.
How's the minister?
Poorly.
And the war minister?
Not very brilliant either, and the Secretary of State for Venus had a stroke at takeoff.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry to hear it. How is he?
No hope.
How about me?
There's albumin in your urine.
Yes, I often have it.
Your blood pressure's down.
Well, what of it?
And your temperature high.
That comes from being angry, Mannheim.
The war minister, Your Excellency.
Sit on my bed, War Minister.
Oh, thanks. I need it. First we negotiate with a murderer, the son of a communist. Then with a prostitute. We've claimed our head of state. I'm beginning to wonder who will be across the table next. Maybe a street sweeper and a sex killer. They ought to find us other negotiators.
There are only single ships drifting around somewhere on the ocean, and we can't find them.
What about radio?
Nobody answers.
They're not even interested in us. That's what makes me so furious. The creatures might at least have some curiosity.
Colonel Roy wishes to speak to Your Excellency.
Go ahead.
Your Excellency?
What do you want with me, Colonel Roy?
Your Excellency knows.
You've come to remind me of our conversation?
Yes, Your Excellency.
How many weapons have we on board?
10.
On the orders of the President of the United Free States.
On the President's orders.
Oh, I know it's unpleasant, Wood, just when you've been talking about ideals all the time. But why don't you just send a Secretary of State with an ultimatum to these boils?
I shall go alone with Mannheim.
Tape number 11. Tape number 11. The deaf-mute husband of the prostitute had just brought His Excellency and myself to the canteen of the hospital ship. A lean man of about 60 was waiting for us in the half-light of the dripping room.
Good. Good. My dear Wood, it's an effort to welcome you. You've come on a sad errand.
You are?
I am von Stetten. I was at university with you, at Oxford and Heidelberg.
You've changed.
A certain amount, yes.
We read Plato and Kant together.
We did.
I should have realized that you were behind all this.
I am behind nothing.
You were our commissar. You've taken control of Venus.
Nonsense. I became a doctor.
And a Russian commissar?
Oh, he goes hunting whales.
Where's Irena?
Busy. That's why I have a few minutes free for you.
Oh, just a few minutes.
Regard me as a plenipotentiary now.
You know what it's about?
Irena told me everything. I serve you to make her head of state. We call her Your Excellency now.
Have the others been informed?
We radioed the ships to ask if anyone wanted to go back.
And the answer?
Nobody.
Oh, I'm tired, von Stetten. I must sit down.
You've got albumen in the urine and the high temperature. We all get that in the beginning.
Nobody wants to go back.
That's the way things are.
I can't understand it.
You can't understand it because you come from the earth.
But you're all from the earth, too.
We've forgotten it,
but nobody can live here.
We manage.
It must be frightful to live as you do.
It is.
And senseless in a climate like this.
You think so? My dear Wood, what would I be on earth? A diplomat. And Irena? A whore. Others would be criminals. A few would be idealists, persecuted by some state machine.
And what are you now?
You can see, a doctor.
Who operates without anesthetic.
Maybe.
This damnable light and the stinking air are making me ill.
It's the only air we've got. Of course, the light changes. Sometimes lemon yellow, sometimes a sandy red. We have to make everything ourselves. Tools, clothes, ships, radios, weapons against the enormous animals. Even the water takes time to get used to. Taste it.
Oh, it tastes dreadful.
It's drinkable.
Geologically, zoologically, and botanically, this Venus of yours is an impertinence. What have you exchanged for the temperate earth? Steaming oceans, tottering continents, red-hot deserts, antediluvian jungles, and even more antediluvian animals, and a raging sky. Bonstead, what the devil have you got in return?
One revelation.
What revelation?
That human beings are precious.
You make me laugh. Your revelation is commonplace. You didn't need to zoom 45 million kilometers through space to find it. You were at Oxford and Heidelberg, man. Your revelation has been common knowledge on Earth for thousands of years.
Well, do you live according to it?
Do you?
Venus forces us to live according to our revelations. That's the difference. If we don't help one another here, we are lost.
So that's why you didn't go back.
That is why.
You have betrayed the earth.
No. I deserted.
To a hell which is a paradise.
You always were able to find the most.
It's my job.
We should have to kill if we wanted to go back. Because helping and killing are the same things to you. We can't kill any more, Wood.
I'm not unaffected, von Stetten, by the odd human situation in which you find yourselves. It reminds me of a passage in Shakespeare.
You know, even Shakespeare's not much to the point here.
We must be sensible, both of us. We must understand you, and you must understand us. You're in danger, too. If the Russians win, they'll come here.
We are not afraid.
Politically, you really are naive.
You forget that we are Earth's penal colony. When humanity girds its loins for the fight, it's for the best homes and the highest yielding properties, not for the rubbish heap where you banished us. You need us now only to pursue your law. But Earth is not our business anymore. Can't force us to go back. You have no power over us. Venus is more frightening than you. The man who sets foot on her soil falls under her laws. The only freedom he is accorded is hers.
The freedom to kick the bucket.
The freedom to be well. We weren't able to on Earth. The Earth is too beautiful, too rich. Her possibilities are too great. She seduces to inequality. On her, poverty is a blemish. So the earth is blemished. Here, poverty is natural. Only sweat clings to the food we eat and the tools we use, not injustice as we do. We fear the earth. Yes, Wood, we fear her superfluity, her false life. We fear the paradise. That is a hell.
We have bombs on board, von Stetten.
Atom bombs?
Hydrogen bombs.
With a cobalt metal?
With a cobalt metal. President's orders.
I find it distressing, of course.
Of course.
But we're in a desperate situation. There can be no doubt about our goodwill. Freedom and humanity will finally win through.
Of course.
We are forced to take harsh measures, but only temporarily.
Of course.
I'm truly sorry, Von Stett.
You dropped the bombs if we don't help you.
We must.
But
we can't stop you. You're lost.
Many of us, yes. But others will escape. We used to live close together, but now the ships are scattered over the whole planet.
You suspected something?
We did once live on Earth, you know.
Yes. Yes. I must go now.
You'll need a holiday when you get back. Go to Switzerland, the Engadine. I was there once, 10 years ago. My last summer on Earth.
I'm afraid I can't. The political situation...
I beg your pardon. Your political situation.
But you still have a family on Earth, if my memory doesn't deceive me.
A wife, 2 sons.
Would you like to send a message?
No.
Not even farewell?
Die well, you mean? My hospital ship won't escape your bombs.
Bombstead.
Irena's husband will take you to the spaceship.
Of course we won't drop the bombs, Bunstetten. It was a senseless piece of cruelty. I give you my word.
I don't accept it.
I'm not a butcher.
No, only an earthman.
I promise.
You'll break your promise. Your mission is a failure. You pity me at the moment, but when you get back to your ship, your pity will fade.
And you'll get suspicious. You'll think the Russians might come and make a treaty with them.
You know quite well that we shall treat the Russians exactly as we have treated you. But a tiny particle of fear will cling to your knowledge. Fear that we might even yet ally ourselves with your enemies. Because of that particle of fear, you will drop the bombs. Even if it means killing innocent people. So we shall die.
You are my friend, Von Stetten. We were at university together. I can't kill a friend.
It's easy to kill when you can't see your victim. And you won't see me die.
You say that as if it was easy to die.
Everything natural is easy. One just has to accept it. And death is the most natural thing on this planet. Even before your bombs come, this ocean around us may swallow us up, or lava from the interior of Venus burn us to death. We live in the midst of death, my dear Wood, so we don't fear it anymore.
Your poverty, your nearness to death make you invulnerable.
You put things so well.
I admire you.
Go now.
No. You're right and we're wrong. I concede that.
That is kind of you.
The revelation moves me deeply.
That is fine.
If I wasn't the foreign minister of the United Free States of the Earth, I would stay with you.
That is noble of
you. But I simply can't leave the Earth in the lurch.
Obviously
not. It is a tragedy that in this respect I am not free. Besides, my health would never stand the climate on this planet. My doctor insists that I play golf every day.
That's hardly possible here.
A pity.
You must not be sad over what you are going to do.
The bombs won't be dropped.
Let us not talk about it anymore.
You have my word.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tape number 12. Tape number 12. Spaceship Vega returns to Earth.
Hold it. Hold it, Mr. President.
How about Operation Happy Hunting Grounds?
Ready for firing, Mr. President.
Well, shoot then. You got a little surprise in the shelter.
Yes, Mr. President.
All right, carry on with your report, dear old Wood.
Carry on with the report.
Tape number 12. Tape number 12. Spaceship Vega returns to Earth.
Your Excellency, the negotiations have proved fruitless, Colonel Roy.
Shall I fire the missiles, then, Your Excellency? Your Excellency must decide now. President's orders.
If the President has given the order, Colonel Roy, then fire the missiles as evenly as possible over the surface of Venus.
Ready for takeoff?
Ready for takeoff.
I shall buckle you in, Your Excellency.
Please do.
Is that all right, Your Excellency?
I am tied hand and foot.
There's the red light, Your Excellency. We take off in 20 seconds. Ten seconds?
A complete failure.
We're off.
Mannerheim.
Your Excellency.
The Russians might come and make an agreement with them.
Indeed.
It's unlikely, but possible.
Unfortunately, yes.
Missiles ready?
Missiles ready.
That possibility, however unlikely it may be, forces us to fire. We must have security.
Of course, Your Excellency.
Fire missiles.
Missiles gone.
What height are we at?
100 kilometers.
Full speed ahead.
Full speed ahead.
How is the Minister for Extraterrestrial Regions?
Recovering.
And the War Minister?
Back to normal.
I'm feeling better, too.
There's a cabinet meeting tomorrow.
Politics goes on.
Missiles on target?
On target.
What effect are they having?
Impossible to say from here, but we can imagine it.
I'm sick of the whole thing. This Venus is frightful. There are a pack of criminals down there. I'm certain von Stetten wanted an alliance with the Russians. They were all putting on a rotten little act for us.
That's my opinion too, Your Excellency.
Well, the bombs have fallen now. They'll soon be falling on Earth too. It's a good job that I have an atom bomb-proof cellar. Comes with a job. And there'll be holidays. Foreign ministers always get holidays in wartime, only I shan't be able to go fishing. I shall read the classics, especially T.S. Eliot. He's the most soothing. There is nothing more unhealthy than a disturbing book.
Your Excellency has coined an epigram.
An epigram? Dear old war.
Brother! For God's sake!
Operation Vega by Friedrich Dürrenmatt.